Good evening. All right. Hey, we're going to wrap up this session of Reengage tonight with a birthday party. I explained it as more of as a birthday party, and they're not as nervous when they look out and see family, the family of God. Bobby, Joe, and Jake are going to get baptized tonight, but first, I just had a few things I wanted to share with you all. As we wrap up our time together, it sounds and feels cliche to say, but view this not as the end of something, but as the beginning. Continue to invest in your marriage and continue the momentum that that Reengage has been in your life and in your marriage. And take the next step, whatever that may be. Maybe scheduling date nights together, if that's something that hasn't been a part of your life. Pursue your spouse. Maybe take up a hobby together. For some of you, consider licensed professional Christian counseling as a next step, just to continue the work that God has been doing. We have some incredible counselors here at Fellowship. We have a counseling center, but we also have a tremendous partnership with the Joshua Center in Fayetteville. So please continue to invest in your marriage. We open up registration today for next semester. And so if you know of anyone that could benefit from this experience, please recommend them and direct them to our website for registration. Hey, this ministry is all about the ministry of reconciliation. I want to read this scripture here from 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. That's what this has all been about. And tonight we celebrate the new birth, the new life that Bobby, Joe, and Jake have made. Let me just tell you a little bit about their story. I mentioned in an email that we were going to have a baptism tonight, and had Brian Smith came up to me and he said, who's the couple that's getting baptized? I said, well, Jacob and Bobby Joe. And he said, I've been praying for them all semester. I said, I met them on the very first week. They were sitting with a chair in between them and their knees facing away from each other. And we just had a high five moment there in the foyer this morning. And I just want to share, because we've been in the same small group this semester, and I've got permission from them to share these things. But it was very evident at the start of the semester that there was a sense of brokenness in their lives and in their marriage. And over the first 6 to 10 weeks, God just began softening their hearts and drawing them closer to each other, but certainly drawing them to his heart. And so Jacob volunteered to tell his story he's like looking at me like, no, sir. he volunteered to tell his story one night at small group. And a couple things he made clear was that that he felt God was drawing both him and Bobby Joe, but he didn't know what that meant. And so I had breakfast with one of our small group leaders, and I said, "Man, are you sensing what I'm sensing, that they're hungry for the gospel?" And so we began to pray at that breakfast, and little did I know that the Holy Spirit was stirring in their hearts. And that Sunday, they were here and attended a service here where John Barclay was teaching from the last chapter of James 5, and he gave an invitation at the end, and the Holy Spirit prompted Bobby Joe and Jacob to just go up for prayer. And Beth Davies, Springdale, she's part of the Springdale community team, got to pray with them as they surrendered their lives to Christ. And so let's celebrate that. Amen? Yeah. And they've expressed a desire to grow in their faith, and they understand that this is a representation, this is a proclamation of something that's taking place on the inside of their hearts, and they want to publicly proclaim Jesus as their Lord. And so Bobby Jo said she would like to go first. So come on up here, Bobby Jo. Sorry about that. We plugged it in at like 2 o'clock. Bobby Jo, is it your testimony that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Well, it is my privilege, based upon your testimony, here, cover your nose, there you go, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Yeah. This in this room before. This is kind of wet. Here, you just hold on. Here you go. Come on here, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, honey, it's a little wet. Sorry.
I will try.
Jake, is it your testimony that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Well, brother, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism.
Whoa.
Raised to walk in newness of life. That was a tidal wave baptism. Woo! Yes, the best kind. Ah, man. Okay. Hey, tonight, come on, Chris and Tim, come on up here. We've got Chris and Tim from the Ministry of Freedom 5-1 to give us kind of our closing talk tonight. We felt compelled to address the issue of financial stewardship because we know that that the issue of money and stewardship is something that that we deal with constantly, every day, as with your spouse. And so we feel it's important enough, and we've brought in the best. And so would you guys welcome Tim and Chris tonight?
Well, good evening. My name is Tim Howington. This is Chris Haas. And as he mentioned, we work with the ministry called Freedom 5-1 Ministries. And basically what we do is we work individually with families in the area of personal finance. There's a lot of different kinds of families that come and see us. Some are healthy. They make plenty of money, but they're not managing things well, or maybe they're not coordinating well, and so we help those types of families. Some families come to us and they're in a tough spot. They're hurting. Something's happened. There's been a job loss or a change of status or something. Someone's gotten sick or all sorts of things. So we see those. And then we have a lot of folks that come and see us who actually would be hungry. These are folks, usually young professionals, maybe just gotten married. And they're saying, you know, we hear that finances are an issue in marriage, and we'd like to get out ahead of it. So we did a little early stage there. So tonight we are talking about money and marriage. We're going to, as we get started though, we're going to tap into your creative side. Now, for some of y'all who maybe came in this door, you may have to sneak back here and grab some crayons. Now, I know there's some of you, when you saw the crayons, you go, oh yes, my kind of meeting. And some of you said not so much, oh no. What we'd like for you to do as a couple, it's like one sheet of paper per couple, you want to draw a line down the middle, husband working on one side, wife working on the other. We'd like for you to create an original art piece entitled Money and Me. Your side of the paper is about you and money, not your spouse. Stay in your circle. That's exactly right. So anyway, so if you haven't got your papers back here at the back, crayons are back at the back, we're going to give you 3 or 4 minutes to work on this. Does that make sense? Any questions? Good. All right, let's go. My good ear. Be stiff on that set. There's something about having my safe ear over there makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. Now you can do this at the same time, kind of snuggle up, kind of close. Drawing, holding hands. This is re-engage, right?
No crayons.
The crayons are gone?
Yeah, they're gone.
Maybe you should, you know, have a good friend might share some crayons with you. When you get done drawing, take a little time and explain your drawing to your spouse. Okay, so start explaining if you haven't already started explaining. Stick people are okay. I always find this interesting how that brings up the temperature of the room. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're going straight to you, so it's you.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
So, hey, isn't that an interesting exercise? You know what? The reality is that whoever we have married probably has a different idea about money than what we do. I could not help but notice some laughter over here. I don't know if you guys would be willing to share what was so amusing as you guys did this. Oh, really? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And mine depicted birds with dollar signs of them flying away. and hers had the door open and there were dollar bills.
That's right. Going away, always going away. That's great. That is great. Thank you for sharing. Well, so, hey, obviously, as you guys interact with each other in your small groups, you know, hey, it's a great idea to really talk and even laugh and think about, you know, where we're at with money. It was almost 21 years ago that my wife and I stood right here, and we gave our lives to each other, and not knowing all that life was going to bring, 5 children later, and having one that just entered college. And so good, and so many good things, so many challenges along the way. We actually did re-engage last spring and got so much out of it. It was incredible, and just the transparency that we were able to have in talking through things that we had not really talked about. We had been so busy, you know, to really take the time to do that. And so it's great to be here with you guys today. So one of the things that that we saw that we felt was important about a year ago was that in this area of marriage, talking about money, it's a pretty big need, isn't it? You know, I don't know that there's probably maybe one or two of the biggest things that couples tend to have conflict over, and I would say that money is probably at least in the top two, wouldn't you say, over the course of your marriage? And so we know when we look at statistics around the country, one of the reasons that we started Freedom 5-1 Ministries is because finances, statistically, were the number one reason that people said they got a divorce. It took out more couples. About 58% of all couples said that finances were the number one thing that got them. And so, you know what? Knowing that, you know, we're smart people, right, in this room? We're smart people in life. We know that if we can kind of identify some of the things that really tend to cause the average couple problems and really address it, that it can be a real big help. And so finances in marriage, big deal. Another one that's a really big deal is the fact that a lot of Americans are in a lot of debt. I don't know about you. I don't know what your debt load is right now, but there's a lot of, it's so easy to get into a situation where we're just stressed about money and finances and debt. And we know inherently there's got to be a better way. Another interesting statistic is that 70% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. And so part of the stress of our life is that we don't have any kind of margin. We don't have an emergency fund. We don't have the kind of savings that would really kind of take some of that stress and that pressure off. I mean, I just had $1,600 worth of car repairs in the last 2 months. And you know, and we know those things are going to come. And so we need to be saving. And we need to be setting money aside for the things of life that are real and they're going to hit all of us at different times. And so we want to do that. Another interesting statistic is that Christians, on average, give about 1 to 2% of income nationally. And we know from a biblical understanding of New Testament giving that's low. You know, that's not really what we would consider probably generous. And most Christians would like to be more generous. They'd like to get their finances going in the right direction so they can give more to church and ministry and missions and other things in the community. And so generosity is kind of lagging behind. And the last one is that, you know, we're not prepared for things like retirement. You know, we know that we should be doing something different, but we can't quite seem to get there. And so Freedom 5-1 was started to really to help families just like you guys get the most out of your finances so that you could and we could see a real difference that could get made here in this area of marriage and money. There's quite a few, I see quite a few people that we've had an opportunity to coach and to put a real practical plan together that we think and we hear it's life-changing. In fact, I ran into a couple this morning at church. We go to Fellowship Fayetteville, and there was a couple in there that I hadn't seen in a while, and we helped them about 4 years ago. And they're still working the same plan and using the same system that has really helped them stay on track. And so that's such a wonderful thing. So let me ask you this question, and be real. You know, Reengage is all about being real. Are there issues of finance in your marriage? I mean, would you say that this area, that this is an issue for you? Okay. It doesn't necessarily mean that your marriage is about to fall apart or anything like that because of finances, but you just know, you know what, my wife and I, we're not on the same page together. And there are things that come up and we can't quite seem to figure out how can we get unity in this so that we can move forward together, so we can kind of have the kind of great marriage that we want to have. I think if you're sitting there there may be somebody out here that would say that finances are never an issue in our marriage. I still have not met one, right? It's just one of those areas. And so if we're all pretty honest, we'd say, yeah, probably we could use some work in this area. We could spend some time, we could spend some effort and really maybe begin to see this area of our life through prayer and through some good coaching, really see it begin to turn around. And so we come to this. When we think about this area, one of the things that we see on a pretty consistent basis is the area of income. And knowing that we've got to be able to bring in a certain level of income into our household just to make things work, right? And sometimes when we're sitting and we're helping a family really kind of figure out why they're feeling the way they are and why life kind of feels stressed, sometimes it's an issue of not being fully funded. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, we mean that maybe there's just not quite enough money coming in, and there needs to be a little bit more so that we can kind of figure out how to make things work. I was recently helping a young family who had their first child, and they just added $1,000 a month in childcare expenses so that she could continue to work. And so they're feeling it. I mean, they're feeling the pressure, they're feeling the stress, and they're like, hey, why do we feel so tight right now? And when you put it on paper and you look at it, you can begin to say, oh, this is why. This is why we feel tight. This is why we barely have enough money to make this category of our life work. And right now, we can't do vacations right now. Because of where we're at with our jobs. And there just needs to be about $5,000 more added to their system, and it would absolutely change the feeling of their marriage and their home, and they'd give them a little bit of breathing room. So sometimes that's the answer. Sometimes looking at what's going on in the area of income is the thing that we've got to do.
Sometimes... there, as you came in, you got a little coin. One side it says being fully funded, and on the other side it says being a generous steward. This area, we're going to kind of break this down for you, but what we find a lot as we're meeting with families is that this concept of being a generous steward is also a source of stress in marriages. So the question is, what is a generous steward? Again, I'm going to send you back to your spouse for a second, and I want you to brainstorm for about a minute or so and think about what do you think that means? What does it mean to be a generous steward? Okay, ready? Go. Okay, who'd like to volunteer? What does it mean to be a generous steward? Anybody? Okay, good, good. What else? Someone who gives a majority of their time, generous with their time. Good.
Someone that's unselfish with their means.
Okay. What do you mean by that? Okay, good. What else? Generous steward.
I say someone who is acting upon the compassion that God's putting in their heart.
Okay, good, good, good. So there's a God-centeredness to it as well? Yeah, good. Anybody else?
Steward is someone that is using something that belongs to somebody else, and then they're entrusted with that. So however that is, whether it's money or
no, that's great. You know, this concept of being a generous steward is kind of a loaded concept in our mind. But what we have seen is that it breaks out to some very significant things. One is the idea of being generous with time and with talent, with treasure. So basically, we're just not selfish. We are giving. And to be real honest with you, in my office, I see couples and he's choking on the giving check, and he's driving her crazy because she wants to be more generous to the community or to the church or whatever. And so this generosity is a big piece. Also, you know, when we think about a steward, it's someone who manages, I think we were mentioning there, who manages things. So the question in your finances, are you a good manager? We'll talk about what that means in a little bit. But are you a good manager? Do you have good systems? Are you on in sync with your spouse? And the last thing, a steward is someone who manages it, manages resources for another. In this case, we believe that the scripture says that God owns it all. He owns all the gold, all the silver, all the people, all the land, all the cattle, all the everything. And so what we are is we are managers of those resources that He's given us. So we're going to try to break these down for you real quickly. You know, what does it mean to be generous? I don't know if you can read that. I can't read that back there. That's better up there. This verse in 2 Corinthians, I think, really speaks to an attitude of generosity, which I think is a great. Now, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. This is talking about giving. Particularly, again, we're talking about money tonight. And even though time and talent are part of this generosity question, we want to focus in a little bit on money, okay? So this I say, he who sows or gives sparingly will reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In there we find the attitude of a cheerful giver. The word in Greek there is the word hilarion. So God is looking for a hilarious giver. We're looking for people who are saying, how can I invest in kingdom things? And that's really the other part of this generous. Is your family investing in the kingdom of God? The New Testament's pretty clear as far as we can see. Maybe you don't have another one, but we see generosity in kind of five key areas: giving to the church, giving to missions, giving to the poor, giving to the one another's. It's the body and the early church, they were giving to one another. We think there's even a concept of giving to the community that's cloaked in the salt and light. And so these, as you think about your giving portfolio, are you investing in these key areas of generosity? What about a good manager? What does that look like?
So we think about this area of being a good manager. The first thing that comes to mind is having a good game plan. And guys, you know, we know that no SEC coach worth their salt would head into Saturday's game without a game plan, right? Same thing with our finances. Why would we think that we can do well in this area if we haven't taken the time to put together a plan? And so what we find is that couple after couple who puts a plan together, like, they start thriving. I mean, you talk about unity that comes from that, organization, clarity. I mean, there's so much. And the scripture is clear. It says that the plans of the diligent lead to profit. And so we know that by putting a plan together, it helps you be a better manager. And so to operate without a plan leaves you a lot of times in chaos and disarray and just confusion. And like somebody I was meeting with this last week, they said, you know, I just never know if it's okay to spend that money. You know, is it okay to do that? I mean, I'm kind of guessing. I mean, I know we have enough in the account, but, you know, I just don't really know. And I say, you know, it really helps when you get a plan and you really begin to put numbers to the parts of your life. The second part, obviously, is giving. To be a good manager involves giving. That's an important part of being a godly steward. The third is saving, and we've got to be savers. The scripture really holds up saving, and so we know that by putting things into savings in different categories, it's a really helpful thing. Even things like Christmas, right? Like Christmas is coming again. Oh my gosh, it's here. Have we been saving specifically for Christmas? It takes off a lot of stress. It really does when you know you can go to that Christmas savings and pull it out. The fourth thing is debt management. Really, not that you can't take on debt, but you don't want to take on too much. And paying it off. Can you imagine being debt-free? Even of your house, right? Someday. Wow. Okay, and then there's necessary protections like health insurance and life insurance. We've got to think through these issues and make sure that we're being a good manager, that we're making sure that things are in place like an estate plan so that we can have the best possible overall finances. The last thing here is really, really critical. And that's being on the same page with your spouse. You know, and I think that's the one that re-engage really is really great about, this area of communication and really helping couples. But you know what? It's hard to get on the same page. We've got different personalities. We've got different priorities. And so to get on the same page and communicate well really takes some intentionality. And that's just one of those areas that really comes about when a couple decides to get serious in this area. And so what does it mean to be God-centered in your finances? Tim?
And this, again, we're talking about this generous steward. This is the last concept. And this is kind of an interesting one. And to be real honest with you, I think this area is probably the most, this is where families of faith, we are missing the boat. Martin Luther says that there are three conversions: the conversions of the head, the conversions of the heart, and lastly, the conversion of the pocketbook. I think that we've got to a place where we have forgotten that we are stewarding for someone else. And it's kind of interesting, couple after couple, this is one of the things that we address in our coaching. Is this idea of, like, I remember this young couple came to me and they said, Tim, they were kind of that dual income, no kids stage, making lots of money. And they go, Tim, what should we do? We're thinking about, you know, door number one, door number two, or door number three. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't know what you should do. Have you prayed about it? And you could tell as they began to look at one another that, you know, they hadn't thought about that God might have an interest in this major financial decisions that they were about to make. And so that's what we see. You know, it's funny to me that, and I don't know if you can read that or not, it's kind of little, I'll just read the first verse there. I think what we're talking about, when we're talking about God-centered, is we're talking about the concept of the Lordship of Christ. And this area is not any different than any other area. I remember in a former life, I was a student ministry guy running around on college campuses. And I asked a young guy one time what was keeping him from becoming a Christian. He goes, man, it just seems like Jesus wants to boss me around. And I said, that's exactly right. Because here's the thing, the Lord wants to come in and to change us. And to redeem and give us back the things that we've lost. But this area of money is one of those areas. This passage here says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? And so our encouragement as we think about this concept, and this is something, I mean, Chris and I, you know, it's hard day to day to talk to people about these things when you realize, man, this is hard. And that's what we tell people, this is hard. This idea of, am I willing to submit myself to the leadership of the Lord? Now, let me tell you a little bit about fellowship. Fellowship has a heart for you to be successful in your finances. I don't know if you realize that, but our staff, our elders, our pastors, they realize that this is a key area. That's why we have great resources. You know, from time to time, you'll see there's classes here, like the Align class. Great. Don Reed and his team do a tremendous job of talking from a biblical perspective. And then he has another class. What's the other class that he teaches? What's Don teach? The retirement thing. A state planning class is great. At Scott Hughes and his team, we have one of the best financial peace classes in the region. You may not realize that. And so they just semester after semester, year after year, are working with families, helping them to do. And then Freedom 5-1 is kind of the third leg of this stool that the leadership team has put in place. And our specialty, I think, is we spend a lot of individual time with people. And so we coach folks one-to-one in our office, in our Fayetteville office. Basically, Chris manages folks in Washington County, and I take care of folks in Benton County. So
I still love the people in Benton County, though.
Fayetteville.
Hey, if you've been through Freedom 5-1 through our coaching, would you raise your hand? Yeah, let's see, probably three or four couples out there. Yeah,
nice.
You could ask them their experience, but man, I tell you what, we have found that by going through 1 year of financial coaching, it's life changing, and taking the time to invest in your marriage in this area can really transform your financial destiny and in a really a powerful way.
I wish we had more time for questions. I'm sure we have some. We'd love to chat. Scott, stand up. Hey, Scott, stand up right quick. This is Scott Hughes. And Scott leads our financial peace class, which is the Dave Ramsey class here. But it's more than just there. We have partnerships with a variety of churches. We're kind of out in the communities. We have partnerships with a lot of different churches. And some churches, literally, the guy, he clicks in the video and that's it. But that's not this team here. And so for some of you, that may be the thing. Take an Align class with me or come to see us. We'd love to take care of you as well. But my encouragement to you, if finances is an issue that you're dealing with or just not quite sure how to get from where you are to the next step, take advantage of it. As you look at 2020, you think about your next steps and your do something about that. Here's our website here, freedom51.com. We're done. Let me pray for us, and then Jimmy will scatter us to the winds, yeah? Father, we do come before you humbled, that you would entrust a ragtag bunch like us to manage your resources. And we're privileged to be your children. And we just pray that you would use us and unity in our marriages to around this area that's really destroying so many marriages, that you would give us, that we could be your ambassadors. People would see us living differently, giving differently, thinking differently. And Lord, I just thank you for these families, and I pray your blessings on them this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Would you guys thank Chris and Tim?
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, this is our last session with your small group. You guys enjoy it, and I just want to tell you it's been an honor to journey with you guys. And I love you all, so go in peace. See you.